Hey, everybody, and welcome to yet another episode of Indie Film Cafe. I'm your old pal, the Moo Cow, and today I am joined with my lovely co-hosts. We have
Jonathan Moody, and thank you for saying I'm lovely.
Of course. And we also have
Justin.
Woohoo! The gang is back together again.
Right. Oh, well, see, this is like the, third time this year already?
Possibly.
Like, something like that, yeah.
I don't know, I lose count because I block movies out afterwards.
She's lost count because she's so excited and can't wait to see this particular film, which, as you're going to find out in a few seconds, is a movie called, well, it's got three titles, actually. It was called Champagne and Bullets, also Road to Revenge, also Get Even.
Those sound like three different movies.
Right.
And they kind of sort of are. They're all variations of the same film, which was put out in 1993. And it is one of those wonderful, self-absorbed vanity pieces a la Neil Breen slash Tommy Wiseau. Except this is by John DeHart, who is playing the greatest person who ever lived and who also writes the greatest country western song ever made.
Oh, dear.
And also fights the bad guys, fights against police corruption, fights against the powers of Satanism, and gets the girl with the big boobs.
Is this like an action country western musical?
Yes.
Oh, boy. Then get ready.
I've been waiting to do this one, so we will come back after we hear some mood music.
Definitely not the plot.
We could talk about the pain, I'm sure. Okay, so here we are. We are back. Wow is all I've got to say. What did you guys think of Get Even / Road to Revenge / Champagne and Bullets?
Those are some, Get Even is probably the best title for it.
Nah, that's not even a good one. None of the titles work.
But why?
Because there was no plot.
Wasn't there?
So you think there should be no title for this movie?
Well, I mean, it shouldn't have been made, but it's too late for that.
So what happens in the movie?
Yeah, explain to us the plot. The quote-unquote plot.
The plot, nothing happens till the very end at all. Oh, I don't know. So I guess two of the guys were cops.
John DeHart and Wings Hauser.
There you go.
Who's the other guy? Cop too, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The bad cop.
The evil guy. William Smith.
Yeah.
Oh, is that it? Okay.
That was his real name, yeah.
Okay.
The guy who talks like this.
And he had a weird name in the movie.
Nomad.
Yeah. Okay.
So,
am I still explaining?
They get him kicked off the force, and he's forced to drive a limousine and become a country western star. And he's like hanging out on some older woman's bar, and he's hitting on her daughter.
Not hitting, like they used to date.
Yeah, something like that. I couldn't tell.
And I didn't even know the mother owned the bar until the very end.
I was just overwhelmed.
I didn't even know that, period.
I was overwhelmed by his constant blandness.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It was pretty rough. But, shenanigans happened, and then there are Satanists. And
Satanists because...
And drug-dealing judge Satanists.
Yeah.
And things and shit happen, and then there are fisticuffs and fights and shots, and the woman dies, and then she doesn't die, and then, there you go.
What was that?
And lots of singing. Lots of John DeHart singing.
Well, what do we call it? Singing? I don't know if I'd call it singing.
Caterwauling?
I mean, it's as much of singing as you can get, I guess.
Mm. I'll be with you when you hold me. Something I got to know right now. Do you want me everlastingly?
All right, well, let me give you a little background on this wonderful movie that you two clearly loved. So, yes, originally it was Champagne and Bullets, and it was actually originally 99 minutes long. Okay? So that did not get a release, believe it or not. Nobody would pick it up. So it got cut down to 75 minutes as Road to Revenge, okay, with a lot of the TNA cut out of it. And other stuff cut out of it.
Yeah, the TNA would cut out pretty much 20 minutes of the movie.
At least. Yeah. But it was decided that the final version, the Get Even version, at 89 minutes was the one that was finally released on VHS back in 1993. And it was never released on DVD. And in fact, legend has it that the only place you could have gotten a DVD version was if you ordered it directly from John DeHart's website himself. So, yeah, you can only get it from his website. And for a long time, the only commercially available version was the VHS that was floating around, which I never had, but I was trying to get somebody to do a copy for me, and I finally got a digital copy. So,
how'd you get the digital copy?
Ways we cannot speak of.
Oh, yeah, you did tell me this earlier. Okay, never mind.
Yes, yes, yes. I don't want
to
have these Satanist judges from Texas singing country western music coming after me.
The worst part of that would be the singing, too.
Exactly.
Yeah, that would be the worst part.
So John DeHart was the writer, director, producer, star, and composer of this film.
And composer, of course.
You know, doing a Neil Breen / Tommy Wiseau kind of a thing.
Okay, so I don't know if we talked about this before, but there are filmmakers like Robert Rodriguez who does edit, direct, produce, write, and compose his own stuff. But he's talented.
Well, the other thing is it's not a vanity piece. It's right. Not everybody see how wonderful I am. That's the plot. That's the plot of all Neil Breen's movies. That's the plot of this movie.
And Tommy Wiseau movies, you know, it's all about Tommy Wiseau being this wonderful person.
And it really is a subgenre because I have a number of movies that are like that. But this one has extra suffering, as you've seen. As we get back to John DeHart. So he was, of course, a limousine driver. In fact, he owned the limousine service in L.A. at the time. That's why his character ends up being a limo driver after he's kicked off the force.
A terrible limo driver. One that, like, leaves the kids. Like,
yeah.
You know, I don't know if it was supposed to be a joke or something because, like, the leader, isn't he just, like, you know, talking to his friend, hanging out with him, you know, like, as if nothing happened?
Well, those 28-year-olds trying to pass off as 16-year-olds were being mean to him, so.
I mean, I'm sorry, but that's still your job.
Yeah.
No Uber driver ever goes, "You're being mean to me. I'm just going to leave you on the side of the road."
It's not fair. So that's what he did. And then I guess there are interviews that I actually have not seen or read, but I'm dying to do though. But apparently, I guess he rubbed elbows enough with the uppity-ups in Hollywood somebody said, "You should go ahead and make your movie." So he made his movie. This was it. And
so you don't know how he got his money?
If you own your own limousine, I imagine you're going to have some money.
Well, I mean, I don't think he used... I mean, usually... Because what I would think, this movie's actually shot on film. That costs a lot of money back then.
Sure.
Most likely he had some kind of investors. It would be nice to know who the fuck would actually, like, greenlight this movie.
Well, yeah. But I wouldn't be surprised if he financed it himself, especially through his own business. You know what I mean? But... He ends up later, now, he's a trial lawyer. So he's actually a lawyer in L.A.
Now?
Absolutely.
He's got to be like 90.
Oh, well, I don't know about that, but he's older.
80 at least, because that was in 93. He was at least 50. He looked 50.
Yeah,
he wasn't 50, he...
You didn't think he was a virile young man? A stud?
No.
He looked like he could have been like the woman he was dating's dad.
No. He's the creepy uncle.
Well, so he did this movie, and unfortunately it never made him famous. It didn't vault him into the realm of Hollywood greats or into the realm of country western music greats.
I have to know. So you know a little bit about him, period. So was he really trying to be a country western star?
It wouldn't surprise me. It would not surprise me.
Was any of his music ever actually on the radio or anything?
No.
I mean, he had a bunch of songs.
He did. All composed by him.
A whole album.
Composed and sung by him, because of course it's a movie that's all about him.
Right.
Now, aside from this film, which has three titles, he was also in a sexy lady action film called The Champagne Club in 2006.
That sounds very much like Champagne and Bullets.
I know. That's it. That's it.
So wait, and then you also said he was in another movie, right?
This is the one.
So that was the other one. You're not sure if he directed, but he
was involved in it. I just don't remember exactly how much he was involved in that one. I don't.
So was that? I thought you called it something else.
No. Champagne Club. So the next one I want to talk about is Huck, and he's probably the biggest name in the movie. That's Wings Hauser.
I mean, I don't know that name. I know Wings Hauser. Is he related?
I don't know, but Wings Hauser, he was in all the late 70s, early 80s, and into the 90s. He was in every B-movie there was. He was in Mutant. He was in Beastmaster 2. He was in Hear No Evil. He was even in Rubber. He was the guy in the wheelchair in Rubber. I don't know if you remember that, the evil tire that runs around and kills people.
Yeah, I've heard of it.
Yeah, so he's had a long career. He's just always been kind of a, you know.
No.
He's always just kind of a bit actor, but he had his day.
Mm-hmm.
And then the final, we talked about William Smith, who was also in a whole bunch of stuff throughout the
80s. I remember Zombiegeddon, but he had been in, like, I think Tango and Cash or something. A lot of those, B-movies.
And he always talks like this in all his movies. And it's like his, his calling card. And then finally, Cindy was Pamela Jean Bryant, who was the Playboy centerfold in 1977. She actually went on to have something of a small minor career on TV. She was in such TV series as Fantasy Island. She was in BJ and the Bear. She was in Dukes of Hazzard.
She seems like she'd be in Murder, She Wrote. Was she in Murder, She Wrote?
I don't think she was in Murder, She Wrote, but movie-wise, she was in a shitty teen sex movie called Hots in 1979.
I heard of Hots.
Yeah, she was in Don't Answer the Phone in 1980. She was in another shitty teen sex movie called Lunch Wagon in 1981.
Don't Answer the Phone. Those are like when at that time in the 80s where they made all the adults.
Yes.
Don't answer the phone. Don't answer the door.
Don't go in the basement.
Don't go in the basement.
Don't drink that bottle of bleach, you idiot.
Yeah, don't go in the crawl space. All these silly movies that just all had don't in the title.
She was in Lovely But Deadly, which is a movie I've been trying to get for a long time. That was 1981. And shitty shark film, she was in Tiger Shark, 1987.
Heard of Tiger Shark.
So she had a bit of a mini career as well, but this was like the big thing.
This was the thing that was going to launch her career.
It did a challenger. It exploded and it killed everybody on board.
Well, no, come on.
Too soon. Sorry. But yes, it was just a bad, bad, bad film. Okay, we have to touch on the music here, guys. We have to. Extended music scenes. Please talk to me about that.
Bad.
Terrible.
And I know you guys are country western fans.
Bad karaoke.
It was worse than karaoke because they were actually singing like their own, original tunes.
Yeah. But when you have your friend that loves karaoke and they swear they're good at it, just wait to hear them. And they get up there, and you're just like, oh, I got to clap because they're my friend. This is bad.
You were cringing over there.
Oh, I was trying to hide my face.
And that's really what takes it from just a boring, awful movie that I wouldn't pee on if it were on fire into something that we had to share with everybody in the world, because it's just the singing. And it's not just the shimmy slide. There was a lot of songs in this.
Yeah.
Well, it's leaking, it's sliding all across. Stomping for some more. That's when my eyes catch you and my heart begins to sing. Oh, pretty baby, man, can you swing? A beat starts to got to get to you, but I get pushed aside. Cause everybody's doing the shimmy and the slide.
I think she'd disagree with you the sharing part.
yeah.
But see, she doesn't like have the same like wanna torture people with bad stinky movies like you do, you know, kind of aspect. Of
she
life.
Has a heart.
I know, and a soul.
And a soul.
Know. I am a delight.
There yes, you go.
But I mean, considering like, do you think this would be something that like Riff Trax would do?
No.
This is worse.
I think it's too boring.
it would be hard for them to rip it, really.
Yeah.
Well, and then, you know, there are plenty of nudity scenes, and of course, all involving John DeHart, because, you know, if he's going to pay for all this, he's the one who's going to get to feel up all the actresses.
Except for the one random dancing.
Yeah, the stripper in the.
Remember
the regular bar.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. It wasn't
even a club. It was a bar. She's in a regular bar and she just starts fucking taking her shirt off.
As you do.
And dancing. And then this like woman slowly calls up and dancing. Is like, come 911. There's a public nudity I'm reporting. And they don't, the cops don't come for the public nudity at all.
Well, that's probably the most realistic part in the movie. You probably would just laugh at her.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Well, I mean, well, they would still come. Yeah, I mean.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But that was weird.
But yeah, there were a lot of skeezy, ridiculous sex kind of ish scenes. But what makes them bad is that he's singing over them and they're just awful. It just makes it even worse.
It's not even like to a make out tune.
No.
It's just a slow song.
Yeah. So,
I remember there was a scene with they're like about to make out, and you were like you guys were complaining about the sounds, like the sounds were so loud.
Yes, the dubbed-in sounds.
And then the music like gets rid of the sound. They just do music, and you're like, I think you guys were like, I want the sounds back.
Well, he wasn't even singing for that one. Yeah, that's when they go to the restaurant. Ding, and all you hear is the fountain, really, really loud.
Yeah.
And then you hear the champagne bottle go back in the ice, so it sounds like it shatters.
And then he ate that one chip. It was like crunch, crunch, crunch.
Yeah. And it sounds like they should have took it down a notch.
Yeah. Yeah. There were some issues with the production, that's for sure. But, I mean, you know, I guess he can't do everything himself, you know. So did what he could. But, yeah, the songs, in my opinion, take it from just being a boring movie to a stinky fun kind of movie, because it's just cringy. So cringy.
Not even just the lyrics. Like, he's just not a good singer.
Mm-mm.
Not at all. Although some of the lyrics were really bad. One of the songs at the end, like I said, when we were watching, reminds me of a little kid. And I like this, and I like this, and I like this. Okay. That's nice.
Yeah, so hard to believe he did not become a major star with a record album. Stranger things have happened. But, yeah. But, and like I was saying, I mean, there was that time in the early 90s when it was on TV, You Can Country Line Dance Too, and everybody dressed up in rhinestones and ugly freaking hats and boots, and we're all pretending to be country.
Fashion.
Oh my God. It was horrible. Yes. It was an awful, awful period in American history that should be forgotten, but won't be thanks to movies like this.
And it will come back.
It will be forgotten because this movie will be forgotten. Like,
no, the fashion won't be, though.
Ugh. Yeah, and then, like, it was so funny, like, when that one old lady who was, like, hanging around, we're like, what, who is this person? There's, like, it's her mother, and her mother's dressed up like a 15-year-old country western tramp.
Beginning.
Mm-hmm. No.
Well, I guess the next topic we can talk about is the acting. What did you guys think of the acting?
Wait, what? Uh-huh. Acting?
Well, there were a couple people who acted.
What's his name? Wings Hauser acted drunk.
Oh my God, Wings Hauser was over the top in a big way.
You said he wasn't actually drunk.
Yeah, that's the rumor, you know. It's certainly, there are portions of his performance that you have to really, really wonder.
Mm-hmm.
But there are times when his character was drunk too, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, it was very convincing if he was not drunk.
Maybe he was a method actor He had to be drunk in order to.
I have seen a number of his films, and he's usually intense, but this is probably more intense than I remember him from any other film.
Hey, Dickhead in the Purple. You want to hear something that Hamlet wrote?
No, not really.
How about you? You want to hear something Hamlet wrote?
Who's Hamlet?
Who's Hamlet? Who gives a shit?
Intense? I don't know if I'd call it that. I would call it mainly maybe like just yelling aggressively.
He was verging on Nicolas Cage territory.
Okay, there was a few moments of that.
There was some cagiosity going on.
We talked about that too.
Right.
Now we're just like he's yelling so much.
The scene in the pool with the weird Native American dummy in the background and the two women on the blow up things. That was a Nicolas Cage scene. That was an Eric Roberts scene. That was a Gary Busey scene. That was a Tommy Wiseau scene. That was a scene chewing scene par excellence. Mm-hmm. And I have no idea what it's about or what it had anything to do with the film in general. I think at that point, John DeHart was like, just film him. Whatever he says, whatever he does, just film him. We've paid, you know, his thing, and let him go. He's the star, kind of, sort of.
Is he?
He was the name, anyway.
So you were saying something about there were a couple actors. Who do you think, Jen, was a couple actors that, you know, that could act?
Well, I'm not saying they acted very well, but compared to
what was
the lead guy's name again?
Oh, John DeHart.
See, I blocked it out of my memory.
Ah. Well, compared to him, in the movie was
Rick Bodie.
Yeah, compared to him, you know, Cindy, whatever.
Pamela Jean Bryant. Yeah, she was pretty good.
I know. Compared to some of the other movies we've watched, she was fairly good. I was not, you know. And then, of course, the what's his name that played the Satanist drug dealer judge?
Oh, you liked William Smith.
Well, I didn't like him, but he acted a heck of a lot more than
That's not a difficult or new role for William Smith. He's done that kind of stuff.
It seemed like a typical thing that he's probably done a million times.
Which is why he was there.
That's why he was good at it.
Yeah. I was like, but you just asked me. Those are people who did act. The John DeHart spoke. He didn't act. He read his lines.
He didn't read them.
But what about his Shakespeare moments?
Oh, God.
He read his lines.
Talk to us about the Shakespeare part.
Oh, God. Yeah. So there's a scene where he asked his girlfriend if she wanted to hear him do his monologue again. And I'm like thinking, oh, it's a monologue. Like he came up with his own monologue or something. What is he doing?
He's just being silly.
Oh, I thought he was peeing. Okay.
Rocky.
We got a dog.
No, he discovered Rocky. He discovered the cow over there, and
he discovered what?
The cow.
Oh no! He's not eating your cow, is he?
No, he's rolling around on my backdrop.
Okay.
All right. Back on to Shakespeare. So he's like, "Do you want to hear my monologue?" And she's like, "It didn't look like she wanted to hear his monologue, but he kind of forced it on her."
Nobody wants to hear his monologue.
And then he does "To Be or Not to Be," and from Hamlet, who later on we hear them talk about, something about Hamlet, like who is somebody wrote Hamlet wrote something or whatever. And I was just like, no, Shakespeare wrote Hamlet. Like, my brain was going like that. And, you know, of course, he had to explain. John DeHart had to explain that. But anyway, he does his "to be or not to be" lines. And then, thank God, they cut it. Because, like, that's a long-ass monologue. I'm not going to lie.
And it was painful.
Two-minute monologue. So they only made it, like, 30 seconds long. Which is still too long. But they kind of faded it out so you could see that he was doing his thing for a while and then went on. And it was ridiculous.
And I am sorry that I did not find this out, but the person who played the nun.
Oh.
She was awful.
She was
a plank of wood.
She was wooden.
Oh.
Wow. That was an amazing bit. It was just so bad.
You didn't find that out? I didn't research that character.
Yeah, because it's such a minor character, and yet at the same time, she made quite an impression.
On us. Yeah, she was terrible.
Her voice reminded me of when you computerize a voice, like the... Well, even Siri has a better sounding, more emotional voice.
Now that you say that, yeah.
Alexa has it more, but it seemed like one of the old-fashioned ones.
Yeah, like, hello, I'm here to save you from, for the Lord.
Yeah.
Would you like to join us?
Whoa. Too much emotion. Slow it down.
I'm sorry. I can't act that badly, I guess.
We should probably rescue him. Pulls down the backdrop over there. So Rocky has been rescued. So the nun was pretty awful.
Rocky was more fun than the movie. So
we have several very wooden actors. We have Wings Hauser, who's going over the top.
Hold on a second. Do you think he picked just actors that just were terrible? Or do you think it was a little bit of his script and his direction?
I think it was both the script and the direction. I mean,
do you think he told them how he wants them to do it?
I'm almost positive, at least in Wings Hauser's case, he just let him go.
Well, he let him go, but I'm talking about like the nun. The nun was so specific.
I don't know if you could tell, but I mean, the nun seemed to have she was actually young and pretty. Mm-hmm. So I think that's probably why he picked her.
I'm surprised he didn't show her boobs.
It felt like it was coming, didn't it?
I know.
Towards the end, the way she was like, hey, you definitely want to come with me.
I had a dirty joke, but I'm going to say that.
Yeah. For a second, I thought she was going to pull off her habit and say, well, I'm available now.
Yeah, there were a lot of random boobs in it.
Mostly the chick with the Playboy chick. I mean,
well, no,
she did
because
like three
you had
times.
The random stripper.
Mm-hmm. You had the Playboy chick.
You had the Playboy chick. You had the Huck's
wife. Remember these?
Who rips off her shirt?
Because as you do.
Yeah.
She's not wearing a bra.
I know. Yeah. Okay.
let's pretend that you raped me.
Yeah.
So I can get you in trouble.
That scene was so awkward and weird. It was once again one of those scenes where you're right. They just told Wings Hauser to just kind of let her rip and then
wing it.
Yeah. Stop. You're getting him all riled up.
Aw.
Rocky all riled up. Yep, now he wants it.
Great.
That scene was so strange because all of a sudden Wings Hauser is yelling at her about alimony and the fact that he has no money.
And child support. We're like, wait a minute, he has children?
Yeah, all this stuff.
Well, it starts off weird because it starts off like she's actually going to check on him because he's ill or she heard that he wasn't doing well. It almost is like
He drank the bleach?
Yes.
He drinks bleach, folks.
Yes. No, this was after he drank the bleach.
No, this is before because he gets put in jail for assault.
That's true.
Yeah, that's true.
Why do I have to remember this stuff, guys?
I try to block it out.
Well, and you notice the drinking of the bleach doesn't seem to have bothered him whatsoever. He was just in the hospital. That's when the nun first gets there, smoking a cigarette, drinking stuff like, this was nothing. Drink bleach, kids, because nothing will happen.
Weird line about people not having feet.
Yeah. I don't complain about
your shoes when there are people who have no feet.
Right. That's the gist. But the way she said it was so awkward and weird.
Oh,
I agree. No. But like, I get what she's trying to say. It's not a parable, but it's like something that Christians gotta say.
Somebody would beat you over the head for complaining.
Let you stop complaining because there's somebody who's got it worse than you. So if you're complaining about your feet, but there's somebody who doesn't have any feet and would want your feet.
And trust me, you know, 12 years of Catholic school, I would hear that a lot. And of course, my reply was always, that's irrelevant. I don't care about that. I'm talking about my pain right now.
Right, exactly. but they're trying to put it in a positive perspective. You're always a negative Nancy.
Hell yeah.
You know, I get it. But, you know, they're trying to make you feel better. But the problem is, she says it's so awkward. That just doesn't make any sense.
They're not trying to make you feel better. They're trying to make you shut up.
Yeah.
That's true. Stop complaining.
Yes.
He wasn't even complaining. He was sitting there eating, drinking. I mean,
it's hard to say. He was kind of complaining and acting and going nuts the whole movie.
Yeah. He also just drank bleach.
Yes, he did.
And then they seemed excited, like, oh, you did the bleach drink.
You did the bleach thing.
So you did the bleach thing, and I'm like, wait, the bleach thing?
Is this a thing?
That's a thing.
It didn't really affect him whatsoever. I mean, he got shot several times.
He got out of prison.
Got out of prison.
I thought that dude. I thought literally when they were at that girl's like grave, I thought it was his grave. And I was like, oh, he's gone finally.
Nope,
he's still around.
You cannot kill Wings Hauser.
He got shot twice.
Yes, he did.
Motherfucker. Like, the beginning of the movie and then, like, at the end of the movie. And I'm like, this dude, like, has the worst luck. Just don't be in the Force.
See, there you go. It's a very Orson Welles kind of touch there. Bookending it. Shot in the beginning, shot at the end.
Don't Orson Welles this.
Orson Welles singing country western? Come on.
Don't make it like it's not Rosebud.
Let's do the shimmy slide. Do 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 do.
Too much emotion.
That's true. That's true.
That ending of that, like, too, with the woman just showing up, and it was like it was all a trick to get rid of the sameness. But the problem with that was, like, she didn't know she was going to get on that motorcycle that crashed and die.
No, it was bullshit.
So, like, it didn't make any sense.
I want to know how the nun ended up at the cemetery without another ride home. Because she's there. She's like, you need to take me to the hospital.
She hitchhiked.
Yes.
She hitchhiking nun.
She wouldn't acted her way all the way across Los Angeles.
Oh, Lord. I keep forgetting this is Los Angeles.
But... I know. It feels like it should be in Texas or something.
Yeah.
But no, even in L.A. in the early 90s, they had their let's be cowboys. Let's be country western people. Oh, yeah. It was a thing.
I imagine. But, like, okay. So, we haven't talked about the sets, really. Like, or whatever. The locations and sets and stuff. And
there were some good ones.
Yeah, some good ones.
Yeah.
The courthouse was a real courthouse.
Mm-hmm.
And then the jail was not.
No.
You know, that was pretty pitiful jail.
It was a pitiful
jail. And then there was, like, I guess, what was that room that Wings Hauser was in after he drank the bleach? Was it, like... It was supposed to be a hospital bed, right?
It was it
at
a
hospital or was it at the jail?
No, that was dressed someplace else.
That wasn't bad compared to other hospital rooms we've seen.
Sure.
It was passable.
It was passable.
Yeah, yeah.
There were a number of passable places.
I'm trying to remember.
Which movies?
Yeah, which movies?
Like practically all the other ones.
The ones that had like terrible
set dressings. Yeah, the one that looks like they just picked an empty room and stuck a bed in it.
Or Dark Wolf.
That's true. Yeah. Dark Wolf had the terrible one.
Yeah.
There's
been a few.
There have been a few.
Yeah. This one, the sets were not bad.
Yeah, I don't know.
Sets weren't terrible, but I mean, because they had a little bit of money.
But there was also some tackiness. Like, everybody's home was really tackily decorated. That one restaurant was tackily decorated.
Well, that was of the times.
I know. It was bad.
I mean, you always noticed that anyway. I never noticed the backgrounds of things.
Well, it's weird. It's like next to the tub, they've got shit just thumbtacked onto the wall and some netting and some fake shells.
I was like, not. You know, you're talking about terrible movies. If you say they have shit tacked to the wall, people might think it was actual shit.
No, they don't have actual shit.
There was, like, plastic garbage. Plus, it's just junk.
It was supposed to be, like, ocean themed. So you had the netting and you had the shell crap and all of that stuff.
See, you say the same word.
I know.
It's garbage.
But it was tacky. Something you would expect at a beach house rental or something.
Right. Mm-hmm. But there were a few other sets that, you know, either were somebody's home or something, but actually were somewhat passable.
The bar, though, was terrible.
The bar was awful.
That was like three different locations.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, it seemed really, really strange. Like, I was pointing it out to you before, when they had the scene where, Wings Hauser is just going crazy at the bar yelling at some dude for no reason. He's just like, I don't like you. You're classless. You're like, give me a glass of class.
One of those scenes that just kind of went on and on.
Going on and on.
He had a fringe shirt on, I think.
But when they would point to him and the other guy, John DeHart or whatever, when they would point to those guys, it seemed like it was in a completely different room. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering if it was.
Right. And then the one shot where they show the bartender looked like the bartender was behind a completely different bar.
Like a real bar.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then at the place that they're in, we're in somebody's house.
They were always in that one corner with the darts.
Mm-hmm. Because you never see, you know what the problem is with that? Is you never see the full, shot of everything.
Right.
So you don't get a...
Nothing's been established.
And those are AKA establishing shots. And they're shot that way so that the viewer, when they watch the movie, can... This is film lesson for you guys. you listen up to young filmmakers who are terrible. So what you got to do is you got to establish where the shot is first, so that people know.
So it's not stuff floating around.
Yeah, it doesn't look like it's like a completely different bar.
Right.
But my guess is they didn't do the establishing shot because it was two different bars.
Well, it had to have been at least three because he also had the stage where he was singing.
That's the same bar.
That was in the same place.
Yeah.
Okay, remember.
Or odds are they didn't do it because John DeHart, the director, has no idea because he'd never directed before.
That's true.
So there's John DeHart, the writer, John DeHart, the director, John DeHart, the producer, John DeHart, the composer, John DeHart, the star of the movie itself.
What were you saying,
Jen? I was going to say, because some of the shots of the bar, you could see all of the slot machines. Not slot machines.
Well, they were pinball.
Video games and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Actually,
looked
like cool.
That part, I was like, "Why isn't somebody playing?" Pinball?
I know. I was like,
because maybe they didn't work. Maybe they were just there to look.
Still, you can always make it look like it's working.
Ding, 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 ding.
And you can put in sound effects or whatever later.
Well, they definitely had sound effects.
Yeah. So why not? If I were directing that movie, I would get a couple of friends to be extras and to be playing, pretending to play or playing.
So let me ask you guys this.
Oh, no.
Of the many hats that John DeHart wore in this, like I said, writer, producer, director, actor, composer, which one do you think he did the best and which do you think he did the worst?
I'm going to go first. I'm going to say producer for best because even though this was poorly produced, it was produced. It was made. It was
right.
Like there's a beginning, a middle, and an end. Right? There is something.
Jen's like, I don't know.
Something there. It's not. It's terrible, but it's not. There's something.
If the movie has been made, technically the producer has done his job.
Like,
not well necessarily.
Where we don't understand what the fuck's going on, but there's still a beginning. Then there's an ending where we still don't give a fuck. Well, I don't know what the fuck's going on.
I like the ending.
You like the ending. You like the credits.
Right. No, that's not music.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So that was, in your opinion, his best hat. What about the worst? What is the worst part that he did?
Let's all go around the room first and say best. And then I'll go back to worst.
You're like, I got to think about this.
It's hard.
I don't know. There were no
best. There wasn't any best.
I guess I'll have to go with your producer because I don't really know 100% what a producer does. So, because I know what the others do, and those were all bad. So,
he hires all the people involved. He gets all the pre-production stuff done, and brings in the money.
Yeah.
And
if he hired some
structures the film
names, not very famous, but some names that you guys have heard. Well, that may not be a good. But we had some
you guys know
decent
who they are.
Sets and stuff. So okay, we'll give him that because the others.
I think he was a better producer. What do you think, Paul?
I tend to agree. I think that's kind of the low hanging fruit here amongst the John DeHart talents.
Yeah.
You're right. He managed to get the movie made, and believe me, that's a hurdle that a lot of people in a lot of films never clear.
I will say that about Tommy Wiseau. It may have taken him a long ass time. It took him like months to make The Fucking Room. It took him so long. It took him a lot of money to make it. I don't know why. It's ridiculous. They spent over $1 million or something for that stupid movie.
Well, John DeHart did not spend $1 million on this. No. And remember, his production success only came so far because he got it released limited on VHS and nothing else. And for a long time, like I said, you could only get this film by going through John DeHart because nobody picked it up. So that's kind of a failure.
That's sad. I want to go through John DeHart.
Tell me about it. I know. Well, I went to his website just the other night and just to see, but it's coming soon. So
what?
You know, so I guess at some point he's going to put it out either on Blu-ray or DVD or something, but it's not up and ready yet.
You should get him on for Indie Film Cafe as well.
I would love it. I would love it. We'll have to see.
We could ask him all these questions that we've been
wondering. Sure, sure.
You do have fun.
So I think...
you don't want to be a guest star on that one.
I think we've all agreed that production-wise was probably his best hat.
Producer, yeah.
What about his worst?
Okay, I'm next. That's tough, man. This is almost like... I think everything else was like worse, like all tied, you know? But I think that's cheating, but like there's really...
That is cheating. You got to pick one.
I got to pick one.
Yes.
Oh my God!
I don't want, you cannot.
Sophie's choice.
All of the above options.
Acting, directing, composing, writing.
God.
Singing a separate one.
Yeah.
And composing.
Singing and composing. We'll mash them together.
Mash them together. Okay.
Oh God! I feel like I know what she's gonna pick. I'm gonna go with acting.
Okay.
I think he was terrible. Like, he was just so, like, everything was so monotone and so, like, but, I mean, he wasn't the only one. You know, the nun was like that, and the only one who actually wasn't, like, well, there's a couple who weren't very monotone, but most of the people, you know, said things so very bland and like, you know what I mean?
I don't think he changed his facial expression even once.
I don't think so either.
Not even during the makeout scenes. That was hilarious. He's just sitting there letting her grind on him, and he's like, yeah, this is happening.
This is happening, and it's happening to me.
Yeah, you're saying, like, their lovemaking was, like, just in a...
No chemistry.
No. It's like they didn't like each other.
That was an F in chemistry.
Which is weird, because she was fucking hot. I mean... Yeah,
she was very pretty.
I would have been okay with that.
Well, that's why she was in Playboy. But you got to figure it's got to be kind, especially if you're not an actor and have no experience. It's a little intimidating and awkward and
also
weird.
Maybe she wasn't in him. I mean, that made him not be in a her. You know, so I mean, there could be that.
I mean, it sounds like a great thing to have somebody naked on you and doing all that stuff until it actually happens and you're like, okay.
And then you have to do it over and over again.
Uh-huh,
yeah, it's a little,
acting
it's
is
a little,
tough.
You know, you think like, oh, this sounds great, but then when you actually do it, it's probably not. All right, what do you say?
Oh, of course the singing.
The singing and composing.
Singing and music.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I tried not to listen to what the words actually said, but it was as bland as his acting. And, I mean, at least, I don't want to say anything good about the acting, but it was, oh, my God. The worst part about the songs is you had to sit through the whole damn song.
Yep.
So the song in the bar, we had to listen to the whole song.
They cut the monologue, but they don't cut the song.
Right.
The song that he's singing while they're making out. Well, I mean, he's not actually singing at that time, but they played it the whole thing. So we had to listen to a whole song, boring song, monotone song, while you watch them make out unconvincingly.
It was torment. But at the same time, that's also the John Hart, the director, because he's the one who decides what shots and how he's going to do it and all that. And he decided to do all this. I don't know. But
I wouldn't be surprised.
And I think that's my choice. I think John DeHart, the director, is going to be the one that I pick as the worst because he, you know, not a lot of very good choices. And a lot of it is stuff. You could tell he's never directed before.
I love how we all pick something different.
I'm very close to picking the songs and the singing because, to me, again, that's what catapulted this film into, you know, from just a boring, crappy film that I wasn't going to talk about to we got to have this on Indie Film Cafe because the level of pain and suffering it was going to put people through, I knew, was going to be immense. Mm. However, again, all of these choices, all of this stuff comes through the director. And so I think because of that, that's the hat I'm going to have to say was the worst, in my opinion.
All It was pretty freaking terrible, yeah.
So, you know, in theory, that means somebody else who might have been a director might have come in and been able to salvage the film a little bit more, even with the bad acting and bad music. Maybe, you know, and salvage it and making it a little bit better.
No, what they would have had to do was have to recast, rewrite, reproduce, everything. They would have to restart the whole project just with the idea, I guess, the kernel of the idea. Because even then, you know, like...
See, I would say start off with the Hamlet monologue right off the bat. To be or not to be. There's your introduction.
To the ending part of it.
And then the chick taking off her clothes, dancing around in the bar. Because, boom. It makes about as much sense as this movie does.
Yeah, it's true. It was really hard to figure out what the plot was at the beginning. It was just like separate scenes or scenes from someone's life. And you're like, how does this...
And that's the other thing we could have said, the writing, because that's part of the problem with this film. Yeah. There were drug dealers. There were Satanists. Were they drug dealing Satanists?
Yes,
it's hard to tell.
They were drug dealing mob Satanists.
Yes.
They were part of the mob, too. They were like, we're going to whack them, you know, and shit like that. And I was like...
And then the leader happened to be the ex-cop that got them fired and was also a judge, the same judge that sent the one guy to jail.
So wait, he went from being a cop to being a cop that got, like, basically, I think he got, like, kicked out, didn't he?
No, he did not.
He
accused the other guys and got them kicked out, even though he was the one.
And here's the thing, in reality, if a judge happened to have that kind of a personal or professional experience with the people who are on trial, he would have recused himself.
Right,
okay, he would not have been there.
Yeah, right, he would have recused himself. However, the whole point was that he hadn't recused himself. That's why they were like, you know, we found out that was the guy, so we're going to get him kicked off.
Right.
And you said something very interesting, which was while we were watching. Yeah, you said something very interesting where you were like, the funny, you know, where was that part?
Mm-hmm.
You know, right? Like, that was more interesting than what actually happened. Like,
than what they showed us.
Yeah, when he's in the hospital after drinking this bleach, it didn't affect him, and no one really seemed that upset about it.
But it got him out of jail.
Yes, except for the nun, because someone could hear her talk woodenly. They come in, they're like, oh, you know, the judge, we got him, you know, what do they say? Not fired.
kicked him off the bed.
Well, and what's... Well,
off
here's
that
the
case.
Other...
So
yeah,
they could get somebody else to retry.
Well, again,
the funny thing too is the girlfriend Cindy was part of the cult, and she knew the leader. She didn't recognize the judge.
Yeah,
she recognizes him later on when she had all this time too,
and she noticed him in a picture. She did not. I mean, she saw him on the stand.
Yes.
So
judge.
What the hell? Does John Hart's character have a picture of the judge that got his friend thrown in jail and also had him thrown off the force on his bedstand for?
Yes.
They were secretly lovers.
That would have made the film a whole lot more interesting.
Right. Well, I mean, see, that's what I would have done.
I mean, Wings Hauser has a Native American dummy dressed up hanging around that he talks to. So why couldn't John DeHart's Rick Bodie pick up the picture with the frame and, like, kiss it every now and again? Oh, I really miss it.
That's too much acting.
Tone it down. She's going to keep saying that. You're doing better than John DeHart.
Well, gosh, I hope so.
I was about to say.
I mean, you know, the Native American dummy was doing a lot better than John.
Oh, my goodness. So
the half-naked women floating in the pool were doing better than...
Getting back to this being a ridiculous, you know, vanity project that we've seen from other people, like, say, Neil Breen. How do you compare this to a Neil Breen?
Well, you know, we did not talk about... Since you mentioned it was his vanity project and everything, we did not discuss his amazing fighting skills.
Oh, dear. Yes, yes. His spindly arms and legs.
The slapping that goes on.
Lots of slapping.
The punching. Oh, that was like
fake punching.
Well, no, but like...
The gentle pushes with the fists. I'm gonna
push slow motion scene.
The cartoony action scenes.
Yeah, those were so bad.
That was so bad. You're like, it's like a video game.
Oh, like, when they pop like out of the doorway on either side.
Yeah, you think it was like, was it Duck Hunt?
Yes.
And then, like, you get to see him kill some guys, but you're only seeing the shadow because it's very artsy and cool. Yeah, because he's supposed to be, remember, there that one scene, and that's one of the scenes, there are two scenes that was added into the Get Even version. One is the part where he's feeding the little dog, and I guess to humanize his character. And then the second one was the training montage where he's like
the training
slapping the thing. So, you know, and he's got the thing on his back, so it makes him look like he's a martial arts guy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was added in. That and the boobage stuff that was taken out of the original cut. They put a lot of that back in. Not
so
all
wait,
of it.
What cut did we watch?
We watched the Get Even. There's no space between the two. The Get Even version. So that's the 89-minute version.
Okay.
So the Road to Revenge is going to have missing most of that boobage stuff. Mm-hmm. But the Champagne and Bullets one has an extra 10 minutes.
Oh, great.
So I'm dying.
That's what we need.
Dying to find that somewhere online, and I will get it.
Okay, well, I mean, if you do, just let me know. I don't need to watch it. Just let me know.
Come on, 10 extra minutes of John DeHart.
Show it to Gary. He'll love it.
Well, you said it was 10 extra minutes and boobs, so.
Mostly, from what I understand. From what I understand.
Now he's more interested.
Okay, come on. Maybe we'll talk. If it's more of his acting, I don't want to see it.
You were terrified. You thought you were going to see his butt.
I was about to say, at least we didn't have to see that.
Maybe that's what we do see.
Well, even it's funny because even in the bathroom makeout scene where she gets into the bubble bath, frickin' man's taking a bubble bath with his underwear on, as you do, I guess.
As I don't, but all right.
And for 1 second, before we go off topic, Jen, talk about the clothes. I know you pay attention to the clothes, especially his clothes.
Oh, God, that was such a terrible time in fashion. I mean, the teens will pick it up soon, don't get me wrong. Oh, that was so terrible. I mean, the women were just sort of those typical 90s sundresses, like nothing too...
Pantsuits.
Well, there's one really bad pantsuit, but for the most part, kind of bland. Those, oh my God, the guys, the big, like the bomber type jackets and... Oh, what the hell was he wearing to his wedding?
That's what I was gonna say. Like, that
white
shirt
it was another with black stripes.
Polo shirt thing. He had a lot of polo rugby shirts.
Well, I mean, and he had one that oversized. Actually said rugby.
All of them oversized.
Mm-hmm.
And then whatever his name is, had that burnt orange suit.
Oh, my goodness.
That was so funny. We mentioned it before. Like, we didn't mention it on the show that we had, he wore the nasty polo to his wedding and then actual suit to the girl's funeral.
Right, the
and
fake funeral.
So did you respect her more when she was dead? You know, like, what the fuck?
I don't know.
They got the same priest.
So. If he had that shirt, they could have done this, the same, like, they could have had the funeral scene and the wedding scene shot back to back so he can wear the same suit,
right?
Change the tie or something. Wear the same suit so at least it looks like he cares about marrying his girlfriend. But I sort of got it, you know, it was a quick wedding, right? Because they were like, oh, we're gonna get married tomorrow or something, right?
Yeah, it was next week,
mm-hmm. Right? It was gonna be a quick wedding, right? But the problem with that was she was actually wearing a dress, like a wedding dress. Now, if you were a real good director and he was going to go that route of, like, this is a quick wedding and I'm going to wear a, you know, polo and everything, she would have wore just a regular shirt.
It would have matched.
It would have matched.
Well, she wasn't. She honestly wasn't dressed that fancy.
Yeah.
It wasn't
fancier, a lot fancier.
It was a dress. It was a dress.
It was a dress. She had a bouquet.
It was white.
That looked like a wedding. His looked like he was hanging out with his pals.
Right, right. But I love the fact that, you know, the one shot, you could see Wingshauser in his orange thing. And then he's like inching his way more into the camera, like a little bit. Like, hey, don't forget about me. And then he cut away because he's like, I don't want you in that shot.
Didn't he wear the same orange suit to the funeral too?
I'm pretty sure he did. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Pretty atrocious. Well, then he shows up one time in like jean capris and jean shirt.
Yeah.
I guess he's doing the Huckleberry Finn thing.
Early 90s fashions were rough.
You know, that was the strangest part. This is off topic, but Huckleberry? Mm-hmm. Like, so was that really his name?
Huck, yep.
No, his last name was Finn something.
Yeah.
Finny, so everyone called him Huck. Yeah, I guess it's like the military. Huck Finny. You get a
nickname like that.
Yeah.
Well, my big question with that, okay, so was he like obsessed with Huck Finn or something?
Because he had that whole scene in the water and in the pool where he's talking about religion, this new religion of Huck Finnism, and I don't even know what he was talking about. It was garbage.
We're celebrating tonight, okay? We're celebrating that I've lost my house. Thank you. Okay. And while we're at it, we are celebrating that my wife is banging all my friends. Chill out, Huck.
Yeah.
That was your first time watching that part, right?
Yes, I didn't quite make it that far.
He stopped the movie.
Share the suffering with my friends.
He wanted to share it with us.
The best part about that scene in the pool, so he's standing in the pool fully clothed. They have these two, they had
topless
bikinis on. Yeah, the bikini bottoms on, floating around. He's got that Native American dummy sitting there.
Never explained.
He's going on about this Huck Finn religious thing, blah, 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 blah. And I keep forgetting his name. John
DeHart.
Is standing and goes something like, okay, good. We're getting married next week. I want you to be my best man. And walks off. But, okay. Someone didn't care. His friend didn't even care.
See, John DeHart, the writer, and John DeHart, the producer, and said that was perfectly fine. John DeHart, the composer, didn't care. John DeHart, the director, on the other hand, should have said, wait, a little bit more, please. Another take. I don't think any
all
extra
the same
takes.
Person, yes. So, obviously. You know, if he doesn't care as a producer, he ain't going to care as a director. Like, that's the way it's going to be. He's not going to argue with, that would be funny. Don't do that. Don't do this. Oh, my God, yes, that's a great idea. Oh, no.
Clearly the Satanists are pulling the strings behind the scene.
Oh, my goodness.
These awful Satanists. And what I love the fact is that she, you know, was tied up and gagged and, you know, she watches them kill a baby.
Right.
And then what? She walks off like nothing happened?
No, you don't even see that part. But the funniest thing about that is that she was like, you know, she was like tied up. You know, and I thought they had said that they were going to, like, sacrifice
her. Right.
Right? They were like, you're next kind of thing, you know, if you don't shut up, blah, 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 blah. And so then she leaves, I guess?
I guess she just vanishes.
Goes back home to her dad. And her dad, we didn't even talk about
her
dad.
Oh, what a piece of shit that family was.
Well, she goes back to her dad, and I guess her dad kicks her out because she was in a satanic cult. But she, like... didn't know she was in the satanic cult
the
or something.
One of the best parts of the movie is, you know, John DeHart's there and he's like, get thee behind me, Satan. I'm like, yes. Between the lines, whether you meant it or not, that was exactly the thing you should say when you meet John DeHart.
Yeah. Of course, you acted that a little too well. Tone it down. This father had the same acting skills as the nun.
Yeah, that's true.
He was a little behind me, Satan.
Oh yeah, you'd say pretty terrible.
Pretty bad. Pretty bad.
Honestly, this is a pretty terrible movie.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. So I guess we have arrived at that golden moment, kids, where we have to score our film.
Yeah.
And for the benefit of everybody else out there, we have to remind you that we use the stinkometer, by which we score a movie 1 to 10, where the lower the number, the less stink it is, and the higher the number, the more stink it is. And you can go in between and give it like a 5.5, 6.5, you know, half step if you're feeling subtle. And when we get 3 scores, we then total it up and we cow pair it with the rest of the scores and we figure out what was the stinkiest movie of the season. See you. The question now is, what are your scores? And you guys have been scoring these films more with me more than anybody else, so I don't have to explain it. Who wants to go first?
10.
Wow, you jumped right in with that.
It's a 10 for me, man. I'm sorry. I do not want to regret this later. I'd be like, I should have gave that 10. I'm going to give it a fucking 10.
There you go.
It's terrible. Like, it is... it is god-awful. The acting, the music, the everything, just god-awful. Just 100% this movie is just awful.
So it's brain-worthy.
It does the same thing. Everybody repeats themselves all the time. They breen. So now we have to call it the harp. You know, we can't call it breening anymore.
The breen to heart syndrome.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, in fairness, I don't think it's quite as entertainingly bad as Neil Breen.
Yeah, but it's still terrible. But
it's terrible. So mm-hmm. I have to echo your score. I have to give it a 10 as well. It's awful. It's just, and that's one reason why it stopped me in my tracks. I'm like, oh yeah, I got to save this for you guys.
Oh, great. Thanks. Especially her. Yes. You were saying I got something special for her. So I'm like,
I'm like that animal that will bring you a dead animal to get to, you know, sort of make you feel good when you're really inside going, please don't bring me any more shit.
You bring me mice to pillow.
Nice.
Oh,
great, right? Yeah. Wake up to you next to.
No, thank you.
Thank you so much. Thanks. Oh. All right, Jen,
well,
it's up to
you.
See,
now I feel a little bad because I actually was going to give him a little bit of credit for having some actual sets.
Okay.
And the clothes were terrible, but they were 90s appropriate.
Sure.
You know?
I hate to say it, though, because he had a little bit of extra money to, like, have a courthouse scene or something. I can't give him any credit for that. I'm sorry.
After some of the crap y'all have put me through and some of the cardboard sets I have seen.
Well, I mean, still, at least... Those people.
Elementary school office that's going to double as a police station?
Just you wait. I'll show you some Nick Zed movies where they literally are cardboard sets.
That's quite okay.
Did you score it the way you want to score? This is your score.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Whatever you want to do.
Yeah, so I was actually going to give it a 9.5.
Wow, very close.
Because, yes, as I said, they did have some sets. The car chase, which we didn't talk about, was terrible.
She really loves the music.
It's vomit-inducing awful. But you did have some people who had a teeny bit of acting, like a lot of people who didn't. But you had, we talked earlier, I had a couple there.
Wings for the win, baby.
Wings, if you weren't like drunk all the time, he would have been.
I think if the other actors had stepped up their game or had game, it wouldn't have seemed so out of place. But because John DeHart was so wooden and that nun was
terrible,
I don't know if she was a zombie. Yeah. Maybe his was just seemed zombie way guy. Over the top.
Okay,
but I feel like if they weren't quite so dead. That his wouldn't have seemed
so
like
a
that
10,
bad.
A 10, and a 9.5. Yeah. That's still pretty darn stinky.
That's pretty darn. That's almost a 30. But
here's quick question.
No.
Comparing just acting, Neil Breen versus John DeHart, who would you pick? Who would you choose as the better actor?
Oh.
That's tough. Because both of them are just. No, they're same. I can't say one is worse or better than the other because they are literally the same. The only difference is the writing. And what I will say about Neil Breen that John DeHart doesn't do is at least Neil Breen makes something sort of you still don't know what the fuck's going on.
Yes. Neil Breen thinks outside the box. Yeah. This is not necessarily a good thing all the time, but he's not going to give you the same old kind of stuff. If he's going to give you a sort of vanity piece, he's going full out there. He is not giving you the same old kind of crap you're going to see other people do.
I mean, when you look at Fateful Findings and Twisted Pair, which are the only two we've done so far.
I don't like how you said so far. Oh. I did not like that.
Oh, trust me. We'll see more. Paul's got a couple of
pound for pound on an entertainment level, Neil Breen trumps John DeHart, in my opinion. But then, this is the only John DeHart film that I have seen.
And I know, that's the only one, right?
Yeah. Well, then, so he kind of is the winner, because he obviously did this and didn't go anywhere. And he's like, okay, I'm out. Whereas Neil Breen just never learned his lesson.
Why is he not going?
Well, Neil Breen has a whole bunch of fans, though, that have found him. Maybe not for the reasons that he originally wanted, but there are a lot of people giving him money and backing up his production. So he has a bunch of fans. I don't think John DeHart ever really had that.
Now,
I think he's pretty much obscure.
Now, if you ask me, those two or Tommy Wiseau is the worst actor. Because he's just god-awful. Like, everything he ever does is, I've seen many things.
Hi, Dougie.
I don't, you know, like, he doesn't.
Well, but he had some emotion.
Yes.
The other two had no emotion.
That's true.
That's true.
I wouldn't say the acting was better, but he at least expressed some emotion.
Right. Like,
she also likes his butt better.
Oh, hell no. Oh, that was bad.
I swear, we gotta show her some, like, David Dakota shirts, right? Or Dakota movies.
13-13.
Where they take the
Bigfoot Island.
The good looking guys take their shirts off and shit. Because mm-hmm. David Dakota is a gay guy, and he mm-hmm. loves, you know, to look at young guys who.
As you do.
Off, you know? So maybe like that, but, mm-hmm. you know, maybe. I don't know.
Hot young guys with those shirts on running around Bigfoot Island? We're gonna do it at some point. Shit. Some point.
Anyway. Moving on.
I guess that's about it. Any other final thoughts about Get Even?
Get Even. Why isn't there a space between the words?
I don't know.
I was thinking like Getting Even with Dad. You ever seen that movie? Heard of that movie?
No.
Hulk Hogan and
no.
Ted Danson.
I will troll the internet. So wonderful. I will troll the internet and see if I can't find the Champagne and Bullets version of this. But
you watch it.
How awesome would it be if we ever got John DeHart on our program? We could talk to him about a Blu-ray release where he has all of those versions on the disc. How awesome would that be?
Be still my beating heart.
I mean, well, I don't know. Who owns the rights to these
things? I bet he does.
I would hope so.
Yeah. No. Then we can all do the shimmy slide.
Stop. Damn, dude, you're getting this dog like fucking nuts.
Oh, he loves the music.
Oh, no, he loves your squeaky toy.
All right, guys, so I guess we're going to cut it off here. Thank you all for joining us.
So I guess we'll just let you guys know. So this was actually recorded in June. This will be out in July. And I think we will be, since this will be in around the time, I guess, that this comes out, we'll be at Scares I Care convention.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, don't forget that. So I'll also make mention in the podcast before this.
Okay.
That we're going to be at Scares I Care convention. You won't want to miss it. So we're really excited. We will not have a table there this year. Things have just been a little crazy, just trying to get Sick Flick Productions go in and Indie Film Cafe stuff, you know, happening.
It's okay. So, we get to enjoy it a little bit more.
Yeah, we get to go around and see people. And we'll probably, if you want, we're hoping to have some CDs or something of our episodes, like maybe like a best of episodes kind of thing.
That'd be cool.
And so we'll put those together if you guys want to come grab some.
And maybe next year we'll have a couple of DVDs of Sick Flick Production stuff. Maybe. We'll see.
We'll see.
Yeah. And maybe we can get Just Jen to come hang out at our table next year. That'd be awesome.
I don't know. Have you ever been to Scares I Care or anything like that?
No, because I'm not a horror That's movie true. Fan.
Well, it's more than that, though. It's a lot more than that.
You know, it's fun to see all the cosplay. And
yeah.
And the writers and all the movies and all the stuff that's there. And it all goes to support, you know, it's a 501c3 for... you know, kids, you know, sick kids and people who've like lost everything through fires and, you know, it's mm-hmm. it's a very good charity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a charity, so wonderful. We love Scares I Care. We can't wait. But we'll be over there, so come check us out. And I think that's...
How awesome would it be someday to do a live show at Scares I Care? Wouldn't that be awesome?
It's hard to do live shows these days.
It is.
If we can, that'd be great.
Yep.
Especially with internet issues, you know, all the time.
Well, you never know. We're always thinking outside the box.
We're trying. By the way, next year, actually later this year, will be our 5th year mm-hmm. anniversary.
Yep.
So we're hoping to do more stuff with that. Like
they keep spraying, but we keep coming back.
Yeah. I've got to find out the exact day, but we'll... You know, we'll probably have a party or something.
Yay.
Around then. For it. So, thank you guys. We really appreciate you guys checking us out. Check out our Patreon.
Yes, please.
Please give us a dollar.
Dollar.
And we will, and you get like something out of it. You get a Patreon only podcast.
That's right.
But only you guys, because you're patrons.
There you go.
We'll check out. So please check that out. Check out sickflickproductions.com, indiefilmcafe.reviews, which Paul has been updating a lot, so there's been some really cool stuff there. And then ndfilmcafe.podbean.com. Plus, check us out on YouTube. We're doing a lot of content right now, so
ton of content.
Yeah, our shows, our basic podcasts are, you know, 5 days a week almost. You know, all the time.
Our cup runneth over.
Yeah. So we're very busy. So thank you guys for checking us out and hope you enjoyed it. And thank you, Jen, for coming on.
I was going to say no problem, but I know you guys put me through. So.
Yeah, it was a problem. I know. But, you know,
bribe me next problem. Time.
You missed out on a couple of the good episodes.
We got, you know.
Yeah.
Gonna have to demand
pizza out of it.
After this, I think I deserve more than pizza.
There you go. There you go.
That's true.
All right, gang. Thanks for joining us, and we will see you next time on Indie Film Cafe.
Bye.
Bye. Do it again. Oh, you're on fire when I grab you by the hand. Your waist is moving to the rhythm of the band. My eyes swell up as you take me for a ride. Come on, pretty baby, let's do the shimmy slide.